Marcus Agrippa, the Perusian War, Part 1. And we left off, Mark Antony's family was getting ready to go to war against Octavian. Now, he had four legions at Capua, which were supplemented by six legions that were brought by Salvindius. Plus, he had several praetorian cohorts. On the other hand, Lucius had six accorded him as consul. Meanwhile, the coasts were already under attack. Anaerobus was patrolling the Adriatic with 70 ships, two legions, units of archers and slingers, light armed troops, as well as gladiators, using them to devastate the regions under the control of the triumvirs. He attacked Brundisium, blockaded the inhabitants behind their walls, ravaged the surrounding territory, captured some of Octavian's triremes, and burned others. Octavian deployed one of Salvinius's legions to relieve Brundisium. Both sides ran recruitment drives throughout Italy. The communities under threat from colonization saw Lucius as a champion of their cause and rallied to him. The settled veterans turned to Octavian. That left Lepidus in Rome with two legions. Octavian departed to lead his campaign in person, likely with Agrippa at his side. The war began when a mutiny broke out between two of Lucius's legions in Alba Longa. Octavian arrived at the city and laid siege to it. Learning that Furnius was bringing reinforcements for Lucius's army, Octavian attacked his rear. Furnius retreated to Senentum on the Via Flaminia. It turned out to be a futile exercise. News arrived of a setback in Rome. Three cohorts had since taken the city under the cover of darkness. Lepidus had proved unable to mount any form of resistance and fled to Octavian. From his base in Praeneste, Lucius Antoninus had entered with the main army, cavalry, and gladiators. Lucius had been welcomed by the inhabitants. He spoke to the citizens dressed in his military regalia and proclaimed Octavian and Lepidus were enemies. He proclaimed his brother Marcus would voluntarily resign, end the triumvirate, and restore the old republic. Believing Rome to be on his side, Lucius sped north to join Ventidius and Pollio. He had moved on Salvinius to take up the siege at Senentum in Octavian's absence. He breached the gates, plundered the city, and torched it. The neighboring city of Tursia surrendered without a fight. Perhaps recognizing his own increasingly evident failings as a military man, Octavian turned to his friend Agrippa, whose role is better documented from this point on. He gave Agrippa charge of his legions and tasked him with taking Ceturum. Likely promoted to the position of legate, Agrippa marched 66 kilometers, 41 miles, northwards from Rome to the town of Etruria. Its location on the Via Cassia was strategically important to Lucius, and it was one of the two main roads on the western side of Italy by which he could reach Pollio and Fidentius in Gallia Narbonensis. Agrippa believed that once Cynthium had fallen, Lucius would turn his attention to Ceturum. He entered and quickly secured the city, whose ancient stone walls clung to a narrow hill on a volcanic tufa and was surrounded by ravines. A slender neck on the western side alone connected it with the surrounding country. The plan was a simple one. Agrippa would draw Lucius's forces to him, while Salvinius would arrive by way of the Via Flaminia and entrap him. It all turned out just as Agrippa had anticipated. When Lucius received information that Agrippa was at Ceturium, he took the bait, turned around, headed back to the hilltop town. However, he found his way north was blocked by the arrival of Salvinius's troops. Appian says that Salvinius was himself being trailed by Pollio and Ventidius, and Lucius was trying to move north to join up with them. He could not go forward, and Agrippa's men could strike at his rear. It was clear Lucius could not get through, and he needed a way out. Salvinius and Agrippa harassed him on both sides, watching especially for an opportunity to catch him in the narrow areas. However, the same ravines around the city provided him with an escape route, and once free of Ceturium, he headed with his army to Perugia, some 93 miles to the north, 150 kilometers. Agrippa must have been bitterly disappointed to have failed to have captured or killed Lucius on his first major command, but he would soon have a second chance. The fall was turning to winter when Lucius Antoninus was forced to hunker down in Perusia. This city was to give its name to the entire war, Bella Perusum, the Perusian War. Agrippa and Salvinius followed him there and were soon joined by Octavian. Like Ceturium, Perusus was a hilltop town with formidable stone walls of massive travertine blocks erected between the 6th and the 3rd centuries BCE by Rome's old enemies, the Etruscans. Its single-arched gateways and thick wooden doors were locked firmly shut to keep out the invaders. The only way to take the place was to lay siege to it and starve them into submission. All that was needed was time. But Octavian and his generals were impatient for a resolution. Rather than watching their troops stand around in the cold and damp, they ordered them to take out their entrenching tools and saws and set to work. They built a circumvallation around a circuit of walls with a parapet and a ditch measuring 10,080 meters or 33,600 feet in circumference. It was constructed with extensions reaching to the Tiber River to prevent the defenders from escaping and relief troops and supplies from getting in. With time on his side, Octavian waited for Lucius, now trapped inside, to surrender. When not digging, sawing, or hammering, the troops on both sides melted lead in the slingshots to throw at each other. These crudely made bullets have been discovered all around Perugia, bearing the names of Octavian and Salvinius. The absence of bullets with Agrippa's name implies he was the junior partner to Salvinius. However, the Perusian War would provide an opportunity for Agrippa to show his mettle. Word was received that Pollio and Ventutius planned or were already on their way to relieve Lucius. Leaving Salvinius in charge of the siege, Octavian and Agrippa gathered their men up and sped off across the Apennines to intercept Lucius's allies before they could reach Perusia. It is in the Perusian War that Agrippa emerges for the first time as a competent commander of land forces. So we're going to stop here. Trying to keep track of all of these people's names is a little troublesome. But that's what happens when you're in Roman history. We have lots of generals, lots of consuls, and lots of leaders. Now the sources for this, The Lives of the Caesars by Suetonius, The Annals of Imperial Rome by Tacitus, The 12 Caesars by Grant, Marcus Agrippa, the right-hand man of Caesar Augustus by Powell, and The Caesar's Wives Above Suspicion by Perron. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, or the merchandise, I should say. And as always, don't forget, if you like what we're doing, don't be afraid to support us with a little donation. Thank you very much.